Did you know that right now there are about 7 billion people on planet Earth? But did you also know that of those 7 billion people, there are about 3 to 4 billion people, don't miss this, who will be born, who will live their lives, and if something different doesn't happen, they will probably never hear or even have the opportunity to hear that Jesus Christ came to be their Savior. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I can't help but ask myself this question. If I really believe that Jesus Christ is my only hope, if I believe that Jesus Christ is the only hope for salvation and for a relationship with God, I have to ask myself, why was I born in a country with so much opportunity to hear that good news? Why was I born in a family that took me to church? Why did I live in an area where I had an opportunity to hear about God? We're in a community where that message is so readily available. In fact, for many of us, you might even ask this question. You might say, if I grew up in an area of the country, this area of our country, the Northeast, where the good news of all the places in our nation is the least available. In fact, there's a map they're going to put up on the screen, and it kind of shows you, and I don't know if you can see that from the distance, but that kind of shows the areas in our country that are the most Christian or where the most people know Christ as their Savior. We can see there the area in which we live is a different color. Well, the reason it's a different color is because there are many less people who know Christ as their personal Savior in our region of the country than really any other region in the United States. And so you ask yourself, you say, well, if I grew up in a region of this country where maybe the message isn't as prevalent, why did I get the opportunity to hear the good news? Why did I grow up in a good church? Why did my parents share about Christ with me? And while you chew on that for just a little bit, let me share with you that tonight we're beginning a new series called Let the Nations Be Glad. And the subtitle of that message series is Discovering God's Heart for All the Peoples of the World. And I just want to say, as we kind of begin this series, I realize that many of us come to church tonight, you're sitting in this room tonight, many of us have struggles, don't we? We have difficulties we're going through, we have pains, we have things, healing that we need to experience in our life. And for many of us, we're coming to church saying, you know what, I need God to do something in my life tonight. And I hope you know that we spend a lot of our time here at New Hope seeking to help people, seeking to minister to people, and the people that God brings to us to help you get to the place where God wants you to be. But I want to challenge you with this thought. When we begin to look around at our neighbors in the world, by almost any measure you want to use, we have been truly blessed by God. Amen. And tonight, I want us to begin looking at this thought that God has a heart, God has a desire for all the nations of the world, not just me, not just my life, not just my church, not just my family, not even just my community, but that God has a desire for all the nations, all the people of the world to know Him. And we're going to begin that by looking at Psalm 67. Tonight, we're going to learn together the reason for our blessings. As we begin to look at these verses, first of all, in verse 1, the Bible says that it is true that we have a desire to be blessed. Look at verse 1. The Bible says in Psalm 67, verse 1, it says, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. How many of us here tonight, that prayer that is mentioned there in Psalm 67, verse 1, expresses the desire of your heart? On some level or another, all of us are here tonight, and we know, like I said, on some level or another, that our lives need to be different. And we're coming to God, and we're asking Him, we're saying, God, you know what? I know my life, there's something that needs to change. There's something that needs to happen, and I'm coming to You hoping that You can bless me, right? I'm hoping, God, that You can do something in my life. Like the psalmist, we're asking Him, God, would You please bless me? And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're in need of life change tonight, by all means, come to God. Amen? If you're looking for God to do a special work in your life, He wants to do that for you. Everybody wants to be blessed, don't we? And these verses are a beautiful request to God, just saying, God, would you please do me this favor? God, this is my desire. I desire for God Almighty to work in my life and to bless me. Look at what it says. He says, God, the first word they use there is the word for God. Actually, it's the word Elohim. Maybe some of you have heard that before. It's the Hebrew word Elohim. And many people believe that that word means mighty God. It means powerful God. It means the creator God who can do all things. And so, in other words, what the psalmist is saying is, he's saying, God, I respect you. I am humble before you. I am dependent upon you. Mighty God, the creator of all things, would you please do me a favor? Would you continue to show your favor to me? Would you continue to be gracious to me, to give your grace in my life? Would you continue to bless me? And would you please continue to make your face to shine upon me? Isn't that an awesome phrase? Here's what I think maybe is being said there. God, I want to be, maybe even I need to be affected by you. Isn't that what the psalmist is saying? God, I need for you to do something for me. I want to be in right relationship with you. I know I don't deserve you. I don't deserve your goodness, but I'm asking you, would you please give me something? Would you be gracious? Would you bless me? Would you let your face shine upon me? I want to be in your presence. I want your radiance to shine upon me. And even, doesn't that kind of sound like warmth, doesn't it? I want your radiance. I want your presence to shine on my life. I want you to have a positive, pleasurable, even a physical impact on my life. Now, I haven't looked this up, but I've heard many times before about how the sun can have a positive impact on our lives, right? In a healthy kind of way. And I've experienced that before. Many times I'll be studying here in my office and on Fridays, and it's pretty intense. You know, I'm praying, I'm seeking the Lord, and that gets kind of draining. And I didn't even know this. I found that I can walk to that back door, and on a sunny day, I can stand in front of that glass door, and it's almost like the sun's shining. Have you ever noticed that? You ever had that happen? It's almost like the sun's shining almost as what? Just kind of gives you energy, doesn't it? It just kind of gives you strength. It kind of gives you health or healing. And I think that's something like that is being described in this passage. He's saying, God, I need to receive favor from you. I need to receive your pleasure from you and be impacted by you and be strengthened and healed by you, by your radiant glory. God, I want you to be pleased with me. I want you to smile upon my life. Actually, this phrasing was actually given way before this in Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. God had told the priests in Israel to use this kind of language. And some of you maybe have come to worship services before. You've been to a church service before where you've heard someone, you've heard a pastor sort of do a, what do they call it? A benediction. Right, where he kind of says some nice word. That's what a benediction. He's saying some nice words at the end of the service. Well, the Lord had told Moses, he said, speak to Aaron and to his son, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. Isn't that what you and I want? Though we may not express it as eloquently as a psalmist, I think many of us are in that place. God, I need for you to bless me. I need for you to work in my life. I need for you to give your favor, to shine your favor on my life. Amen? But we might ask this question. Why? Why am I asking God to do that? Why would we want to be blessed? What's our motivation? If we think about it, usually when we're coming to God for blessing, who's it pointed towards? I'm coming because I want what? I want me to be blessed. God, I want a positive impact on my life. Or possibly there are some other people related to my life that I want to benefit, some people in close proximity to my life. And at first, the way I said that, it might have sounded kind of selfish. But just like I said earlier, it's not a bad thing to come to God and say, God, I need for you. I want for you to work in a positive way in my life, because God does want to do that. God does love us and God does want to bless us. But here's what we want to focus on tonight. Even though we can come to God and ask him to do something that personally benefits our lives, God has more in mind about that than maybe we do. And that's where I want to look at verse 2. By the way, before we move on, did you notice I didn't read this word, but at the end of verse 1, it says, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And then there's a word there. Anybody got that word in your Bible? Okay, Selah, Selah. I don't know how to pronounce it. You know, a lot of people say, you have different ways they think it's pronounced. It's a Hebrew word. We're not exactly sure what that word means, but since the Psalms were many times meant to be used with music, many people think it's a musical notation. It's almost a way of saying, okay, let's stop right there. Let's stop and think about that. Or let's pause for just a minute and praise the Lord. So you can almost see we were singing this song. We sang the first verse, and we just kind of stop, and we just kind of lift our hands and praise the Lord. Okay? So when you see that in the Psalms, it's actually in Habakkuk 2. Those are the only two places in the Bible where that phrase is given. But that's what it means. It means stop and think about what you just read and worship the Lord. So we talked about the fact that we have a desire to be blessed by God. But in verse 2, I want us to understand that God has a purpose behind that blessing in our life. Let's look at that. In verse 2, it says this. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. But then it says in verse 2 that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Now, as soon as you see that in verse 2, I want to teach you, as you're reading the Bible, a lot of people say, I don't understand the Bible. I don't know how to read it. I don't know what it's about. I don't know what it means. But many times you'll find there are purpose statements in the Bible, okay? So in verse 2, when it says that, actually, in my mind, I think of the phrase, so that, okay? So it says, God be gracious to us and bless us and make your face to shine upon us. And then in verse 2, it says what? Because there's a purpose. So that your way may be known on the earth. There's a purpose statement there. Why, God? Why does God bless us so much? And the reason is so that his way, his salvation, can be known on all the earth and among all the nations. By the way, that your salvation, that's the Jewish word Yeshua. Okay, that sounds a lot like what? Joshua. It actually means the Lord is salvation. It's actually where we get the name Jesus. Okay, so actually that could be translated, Lord, be gracious to us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us that your way may be known on the earth, your Jesus among all nations. See, the Bible teaches that it's in God's nature to bless us and that God loves us and he specifically wants to bless me, he wants to bless you, but the Bible says there's a bigger purpose. Friend, listen. If you are seeking for God to bless your life tonight, God wants you to go higher than many of us usually think. It's not just, it can be so that God will work in my life. Amen? God, I need you to work in my life. But as we come to church, we find out that God has things for us that we would have never found unless he told us, right? And so tonight what he's saying is, yes, you can come to me and you can say, God, I want you to work in my life. God, I want you to bless me. I want you to save me. I want you to do something special for me. But he's also saying there's a bigger purpose. When we seek to be blessed by God, God has a bigger purpose than that. Started with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. The Bible says that God blessed Abraham so that he would what? Be a blessing. And it's passed on to us as followers of God. I have been blessed to be a blessing. If you are a child of God, one of the biggest reasons, are you listening? One of the biggest reasons that you say, why has God done so much for me? Amen, anybody? That ought to be a little bit of shouting right there. Why has God done so much for me? Amen? I don't know, do you? I don't know why God's been so good to me. That's the biggest thing I'd say. I don't know. I just thank him. Amen? But the Bible's teaching me here, if I am a child of God, and if I'm wondering, why, God, why have you done so much for me? One of the biggest reasons I've been blessed by God, you've been blessed by God as a child of God, is to be a blessing to others. And wait just a minute, because some of you might say, you know what? Yeah, I want to be a blessing. And you think about it, you know, yeah, that's kind of the progression that God's been doing in my life. But God's been working in my life, and it sort of started out focused on me, and now I'm wanting to be a blessing to other people. Amen? Have you found that? That after a while, you don't find there's so much of that self-focus. I mean, I am glad that God works in my life, But I'm finding that the overflow of that is I want to be a blessing to others. And so that neighbor across the street or that coworker, and all of that's great. And you say, you know what, Pastor Robert, I made some progress. It's not just me. I'm thinking about being a blessing, but actually God's going a step further than that. God says, I've called you to be a blessing, but it goes beyond your cul-de-sac. It includes your neighbors. It includes your coworkers. It might start there, but it's bigger than that. And friends, listen. That's what this series of messages is about. I am blessed, ultimately, to be a blessing on all the peoples of the world. That's a little bit to swallow, isn't it? Listen to what John Calvin said about that. In regards to that statement being about the Jewish people, he said, every benefit which God bestowed upon his ancient people was, as it were, a light held out before the eyes of the world to attract the eyes of the nations to him. Did you hear that? What God said was, I'm going to work through this special nation of people, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. I'm going to choose this group of people. I'm going to give them my special favor, my special blessing. And truly, if we looked at the evidence, I could give you great evidence that the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, has been blessed in a special way beyond any other nation in the world. And God's intention was to show them his favor, to show them his grace, so that the rest of us who are outside of the nation of Israel would look at God working in his people and we would say, oh my goodness, what an awesome God. Can I get in on that? Amen? That's why God works so mightily and in such a focused way through the Jewish people. Somebody else said this and kind of relating it more to us and not just the Jewish people. He says, when God blesses his people, it is with the goal of provoking the nations, people all across the world, it is with the goal of provoking the nations to jealousy. I wish I had that. And when God blesses us, it's so that other peoples around you, in your neighborhood, at your work, at your school for sure, but God's just challenging us here, it goes farther than that, okay? Because that's about as far as many of us would go. God said, no, I'm actually thinking that I want all the peoples of the world to see the special thing that you and I have going, and I want to provoke them to jealousy so that they too might come to know him, share in his blessings, and have reason to praise him as well. So I want to ask you a couple questions. Number one, have you been blessed? Have you? I mean, just think about tonight. What has God done for my soul? Amen. Thank God for that. Receive that tonight. If you haven't received that gift tonight of salvation, of the blessing that God has offered you, then personally receive it yourself. Personally receive what God wants to do for you. But secondly, are you using those blessings that God has given to you? Are you taking his heart and using those blessings to be a blessing? Okay, let's put it like this. This is where the rubber meets the road. Are other people seeing Christ working in your life, and are they saying, I wish I had that too? Just think about that tonight. Is God working in my life in such a way that I'm being a blessing to others, that other people will be attracted to him and want to give their life to him because they're looking at me and saying, oh, wow, if the God that you follow does that kind of stuff, I want to follow him too. And actually, what we're saying tonight is more specifically here, is the blessing that God has poured upon your life being leveraged in such a way as to make a real impact on the peoples of the world, on other tribes, on other tongues, on other nations. Are other people across the world, I know that's kind of big, right? Are other people across the world knowing and serving God because of what God has done in and for you? That's a big question, isn't it? The assumption in these verses is this: God, please be good to me. And God, if you are good to me, if you do bless me, more people in the world are going to know and praise your name because of your work in my life. In other words, God, though the blessing is going to have a positive impact on my life, its purpose will not be spent on just me. When you bless me, it'll be turned into touching more lives and you getting more glory. That's the heart that's being expressed here. Now, what I say that Selah word means? Pause and think about it. All right, so let's Selah for just a minute, okay? Let's stop and think about it, because I need to. How about you? I mean, this is quite, I told you, this series is going to be a little bit different direction than maybe we would normally think. Some of you are feeling like C.S. Lewis described. Listen to this. C.S. Lewis, I don't know if you ever read any of his writings, but I mean, he really had a way of understanding and communicating God's truth. Listen to this. He said, in your relationship with God, imagine yourself as a living house. Okay, so you're a house, okay, metaphorically, okay, allegorically, just symbolically, you're a house, but you're a living house. And God comes in to rebuild that house. Now, is this not true? At first, perhaps, you can understand what he is doing. He's getting the drains right. He's stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that these jobs needed doing, and so you are not surprised. You understand where I'm going? Okay, so I'm a house. I'm going to picture my life as a house. I'm a living house, and I've let God come into my life, and I knew there were some things we needed to do on the house. Amen? And you know what? I'm not surprised to see that roof was leaking, and God, I mean, he's up on the roof, and he's fixing that leak. And, I mean, you know, we had that drain, that drippy faucet, and I knew that thing needed to be fixed. And, yeah, it makes sense. God's good. He comes into my house, and now, praise God, the drippy faucets are getting fixed. Amen? But listen, but presently, and by the way, C.S. Lewis, you know, he kind of had a little bit different twist on the English language, so some of it sounds a little bit strange, but it says, but presently he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts, it took me all week to get this word right, abominably. It basically means in a not good way. Presently he starts knocking the house about in a way that's not so great to me and does not seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. Now, the reason I share that tonight is because that's how some of you feel about the message so far. Okay, it sort of strikes you that way. Hey, I'm good with God working in my life. Amen? I know I got problems. I know I got issues. I know I'm not all I can be. And God's working, and he's coming in, and he's fixing the faucets and the leaks. And yeah, I knew all that. Wait just a minute. What are you doing over there? I like that wall. Why are you tearing that wall down, right? Okay, so what we're talking about here in this series about God having a heart for the nations, that wasn't exactly what I was thinking of. How about you? But listen to how C.S. Lewis finished that quote. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage. Isn't that sweet? But he is building a palace. He intends to come and to live in it himself. Friend, listen, the reason you have been blessed is not just that God would work in your life. It's to allow God to work in your life so that he can show himself to a world that needs him. Let's look at that in these final few verses here. In Psalm 67, verses 3 through 4, let's talk about the results of us being a blessing. God says the reason we've been blessed, God, we've got a desire to be blessed, and God has a purpose behind that, and I want us to see what happens when we allow God to use our life as a blessing. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. I love these verses. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Let all the nations be glad. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Do you see what's going on in these verses? God is saying that God, he's giving us a vision for his heart. And he's given us a vision for the kind of heart that those who love him would have. God, based on what you've done in my life, listen, is this not true? God, based on what you've done in my life, I'm kind of thinking everybody needs to know you. Amen? God, based on what you've done in my life, I want somehow, I don't know how that's going to happen. I'm kind of scared about it. I don't know how to share, and I don't want to be one of those door knockers and get weird about it and stuff, all that kind of stuff. But God, I'm starting to feel like everybody should know you. In fact, God, I want every tribe, every tongue, every language, every people. I want everybody to be able to experience in their own land. And maybe it's not going to be just like me, because God created lots of different people in lots of different places. Amen? But God, whoever they are, wherever they are, however they live, I want to see everybody know you and serve you in their own land, in their own language, and experience the life-changing power that I have. And that's expressed in verse 3. It says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Do you hear the heart of God followers? Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Listen, friend, tonight, are the nations not in an uproar? Amen? I mean, we are sheltered in a sense. I don't know if this is always going to be the case in the United States, but we are very much sheltered from the reality of a messed up world. And you go anywhere else in the world just about, and you'll find out it's not very safe. It's not very fun. It's not very good in many places. The nations are in uproar. And the heart of God's servant is, this is what would happen if I let God work through me, if we let God work through us. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and set free. Amen? And know how to live and how to do right and how to treat one another. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For God, this is what you would do if you were in control. If they were all following you, you will judge the peoples with uprightness. Things would be good for people, right? And you will guide the nations on the earth. Lord, there are people all over the world ravaged by sin. But if I allow you to work through my life, and if I somehow partner together with you to let me be a blessing in some way. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but Lord, my heart is, as you've blessed me, I want my light to shine even in such a way that people all over the world could know you. That's how it happened. God blessed me, and now I'm allowing him to use my life for others to see Christ. Now God is blessing them, and by the way, if they respond to God and his blessing rightly, even more people will be touched, right? Because if they follow the same direction that we do, God blesses me so I can be a blessing to others. Well, when God blesses them, what are they going to do? They're going to be a blessing so that others can know him. The passage closes out in verses 5 through 7. It says, let the peoples praise you, O God. It's kind of a wrap-up. It's all, you know, the Psalms many times are, we see it as poetry, and it's kind of coming down that way. It says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. That's basically a way of saying, God, I have been blessed by you. I have seen the fruit of God working and God blessing my life. The earth has yielded his produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Okay, so here's what I want to ask you tonight. Could tonight's message be very simply for you? Are you using it all on you? Okay, God is blessing your life. God is doing things in your life. Are you more of a Dead Sea or a Jordan River? Okay, you ever heard that analogy before? Okay, the Jordan River is a flowing river, right? But the Dead Sea, things flow into it, but they don't what? They don't go out of it. So guess what? Things die in the Dead Sea, okay? It's stagnant. Nothing can live there. Maybe think about it like this. has the domino effect stopped with your life? Okay? If I said, did you kind of see that when I was talking about the blessing? The idea, if you can just kind of picture it throughout history, is God blessed some people, and those people decided to be a blessing, and then more were blessed. And then those people decided to be a blessing, and then more were blessed. Well, what if I just decided to stop the dominoes? And I'm the last one, and I'll just receive it. You see the picture? Is God saying to you tonight, I have a domino effect that I want to happen through my people, and you've sort of stopped that? And is God calling you to share more of that blessing with others? But even more specifically tonight, did you know that the God that you've given your life to, did you know that He has a heart for the nations? So what does that mean? If I'm a follower of Jesus, could it mean very simply for somebody here tonight, you know what, taking another step in your spiritual walk? Maybe God is calling you very simply to pray for a missionary. Amen? We had a precious young lady share with our church family last week, right? There are thousands of people all over the world who are serving God and who need prayer support, who need financial support. Could that be a part of being a blessing to the nations? And there may be somebody here tonight that loves God and is growing, and God's working on your language and your thought life and being a good husband and how you spend your money. But one of the next steps in your life is, you know what, I need to be a partner together with God in helping the good news go to the nations. Maybe it means going on a short-term mission trip. Maybe God's calling you. Hey, when we go back to Thailand, you know what? Maybe some of you say, you know, I know y'all talk about Thailand. I know y'all talk about telling people, other people about Jesus, but I'm just letting God work in my life. And maybe God's saying, well, maybe it's time for you to kind of get on board with God's program, going on a short-term mission trip. Maybe you need to get involved in our church's mission team, our World Missions Conference that's going to come up in May. Get involved with that and being a part of promoting what God's doing all over the world in our church family. Maybe God's calling you to go. There are people in our church family that we're praying, and God's already done it. We are praying that one day, for some of you this sounds totally off the wall, totally weird, guess what? I'm there too. I used to sit in a seat just like you are and listen to my pastor, and you go, brother, and I'm with you. And all of a sudden, God said, you're out of here, Robbie. Oh. I wasn't looking for that. But guess what? I follow a God who has a heart for the nations. And He needed me to be somewhere else. He needs some people to be in North Carolina. He needs some people to be in Georgia. But He needs some people to be in New York. But we've had some people in New York that got called to Thailand because He needs some people over there. And there are going to be more people in our church. We pray, we hope, that God's going to raise up. He's going to knock on the door of your heart and say, you know what? You've enjoyed it here. God's worked in your life, but it's now time for you to take what you've learned here and go share it with someone else. Maybe God's going to call you to support an organization like Wycliffe. You guys ever heard of Wycliffe before? You know, Wycliffe is actively working to get the Bible translated into every known language in the world. Because isn't it sad that there are people that not only don't know God, but they would have to learn our language for us to talk to them about God because we don't have a Bible in their language? Isn't that sad? Maybe God would just put on your heart tonight, I'm going to go Google Wycliffe tonight. I'm going to learn how I can get involved with getting the Word of God out to other people. You know what would be really cool tonight? It'd be really cool if in the third largest unreached country in the world, because that's what the United States is, in the third largest unreached country in the world, that God would get His good news out tonight to somebody sitting here who we would have an opportunity as a church to share the good news. Did you know? Did you know that God has come for you? No, there's a guy in our church, actually Tony, who preached a few weeks ago, that was last weekend. Tony, who preached last weekend, did you know he says he was 21 years old? He grew up right here. He grew up in, I think, Fort Ann. He was 21 years old before he understood that Jesus, the good news, that Jesus had given His life for him, and that if he would put his trust and faith in Jesus Christ, that he could be forgiven of his sins and have a relationship with God. A guy right here in our ear was 21, and some of you would say, oh, that's not far-fetched for me because I was 35, or I was 45, or I was 55, or maybe you're even here tonight, and you say, Pastor Robbie, I've been to church all my life, and I didn't know that God cared this much about me. And it would be our privilege to be able to share that good news with you tonight. And you can be a part of that domino. Amen. God bless me. He gave me something to share tonight. And I want to be a blessing. And you tonight can be a part of receiving that blessing by saying, I want Christ to be my Savior. He's the God that you're describing, and He is, and more. And I want to give my life to Him as well. Let the peoples praise you. Oh God, let all the people, let the nations be glad and shout for joy, because He is a great God. Amen. Would you bow with me for just a moment? Heavenly Father, like your servant C.S. Lewis shared, there are things that we have talked about tonight that many of us would have never just kind of come up with about God. Or we would rather not go there. Or that's not really part of the plan as we saw it. We thought we were going to be a nice little cottage. But you're thinking about a palace. And Lord, tonight I pray for a precious servant of yours tonight, someone who's maybe beginning their walk with you, trying to figure out what it's all about, and this is all so much for them tonight. Or maybe there's somebody who's been a Christian for 25 years and they've just sort of been kind of complacent and kind of been stalled out at a certain point, but they know, God, that you're calling them to more, to a bigger perspective. I pray tonight, Lord, that wherever each person is here tonight, that you would just speak to our hearts with clarity. Maybe it is to commit to pray weekly for a missionary, or in some way to partner together with you that your name would be more famous. Lord, it's appalling tonight that 3 to 4 billion people may never even have the opportunity to reject or receive. And I need to ask myself, I am asking myself, we as a church need to ask ourselves, what are we going to do about that? That's not right. God, you need to be known. All the peoples need to know you. And Father, tonight I pray that in this land in which we live, we are so grateful that the good news has been so prevalent, but not so much in these days. And Lord, maybe someone in this room has never truly heard and understood that God loves them and that you have a purpose for their life, and that you want to forgive them for the things that they've done wrong. If they will put their trust in you, Jesus, they can be forgiven and have a relationship with their Creator. I pray that tonight someone would say, Dear Jesus, I believe, I receive you, I accept your gift, and I give my life to you tonight. I want to follow you, God. Please forgive me and save me tonight. Lord, thank you for what you're speaking to us about. We pray that as we walk through this study together, that you'll do something that we could have never imagined. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but okay, I just imagine myself Saturday morning, you got up, working on some stuff around the house, run the kids around for different things, basketballs, indoor soccer, whatever. I come to church, I want God to work in my life. And oh my goodness, we're signing up to get on a plane and go across the world. That's a little much. Okay, so just wherever you are, let God speak to you tonight. Some of you are primed. You're ready. You know God's been speaking to you. There may be somebody in this room that 5 years ago God spoke to you about surrendering your life to missions. And you've been putting that off. And God says, I'm still speaking to you about that. And you're ready. Maybe somebody else. It's just that next little step. You know what, God? I'm trying to go beyond me and think about others, and this just kind of adds a whole other piece. God, just speak to me. Teach me about who you are and what you want to do. Is it okay tonight if God has the plan instead of me? Is it okay if He sets the agenda instead of me? Would you just say, God, just speak to me, because your servant is listening.